and our hearts. So I will speak a line, and I invite you to speak it back to me. I promise, I've done them short lines. So verses from Psalm 29, which has been titled, "The Voice of God in a Great Storm." Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders.
The God of glory thunders.
The Lord over the mighty waters.
The Lord over the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace.
May the Lord bless his people with peace.
We sang a line just now, "Come just as you are." And that's the astonishing thing we can do. We can come just as we are before God. But as we prepare to worship him, to hear his word, and to reflect on it, let's just take a moment to consider our week, where perhaps we have fallen short of God's best for us. And let's just take a moment in quiet confession before him and ask for his forgiveness. Amen. I just realised maybe I forgot to introduce myself. Did I forget to introduce myself? I didn't? Hello, I'm Shayla. Oh, it's been one of those mornings, I tell you. Okay, I'm wondering. I have a question. Apart from being a revolting drink with too many E numbers, any observations, any thoughts?
Does it go with cider?
Does it really? Shocking, it goes well with cider. Who would want to adulterate cider? I mean, seriously. It's not a trick question, I promise.
It's full of air.
Full of air, okay. What about that one and that one? Any thoughts?
One full.
Is one full?
And one empty.
Is one full and is one empty? Oh, you're good. Had there been children here this morning, I'm not going to pick on you if you're not, but if you feel you are a child in your heart, join in. I would have asked you, anyone willing? Before I say no, okay. I would have put this one on the floor and said, "Hey, it's a drink can. What do you reckon? Do you want to stand on it?" And they would go, "Oh, yeah." And they would stand on it and it would crumple, yes? If you stand on the full can, guess what happens? No. Does anyone, it supports you. Does anyone believe me? Or do we have to prove this point?
Oh, go on.
No. Would you like to? Thank you so much. I forgot. Are you Steve?
Yes. Right.
Fabulous. Steve is going to show for us. Here is an empty drink can. I'm going to offer my support. Steve's going to... Oh! An empty can has no support to offer. Now this is where you trust me. Do you trust me? Oh, it's good when you don't know people. Right. You want a balance? Steve needs a bit of practice with balancing, although I think anybody would struggle. But the point... Thank you, Steve. You're a star. The point is, the can is still strong. And one of the things... No, I won't try and open it. Who would want to? No. One of the things for us to consider this morning through our worship. From the outside, they look the same. They look fit for purpose. Like they served a job. But under pressure, the empty one, the one that was not full as it should be, came apart. It's just a thought to hold in our minds as we continue through our service together. Excuse my hair, or whatever that is. In light of that, invite us to sing again. It's a song called Faithful One, and it speaks, as our psalm did, of storms. It speaks of the idea of pressure outside us, pressing in on us, and how we might survive. Faithful One, if you're able, would you like to stand and sing? Please do have a seat. We're going to hear from Scripture now. We're going to hear a reading from Mark and also some verses from Jeremiah.
As you can see, I'm not Barry, but he hasn't got his glasses here, so I haven't looked at this before, so I'll try and get it right. The first reading is from Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 9, and it's on page 1002 in the Pew Bibles. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. And the second reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 17, starting at verse 8, which is on page 776 in the Pew Bibles. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit."
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. So, last week, Sue introduced the in-depth look at Mark's Gospel, which you as a church are following over these next few weeks. She set the scene of Mark's writing by telling us that he offers a straightforward and simple account of the ministry of Jesus, but always hinting at the shadow of the cross to come. And she's right. But although it is a simple account, Mark manages to pack a great deal in, as I found out in my preparation time this week. So, I assume you're okay with a sermon that lasts about an hour and a half?
2 hours.
Don't panic. We pick up the story this week from verse 9. Mark has set his scene. Here was John, the cousin of Jesus, calling the people to repentance and to a changed way of living. They weren't just from the nearby towns and villages, but they were also from Jerusalem, all the way down the Jordan Valley and up the hills into the city. And then Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee, turns up. Now, I've had the privilege of living in the West Bank and Jerusalem for 5 years. And I promise you, now as then, Nazareth is not that impressive a town. Really, and bless them, but it isn't. Jerusalem, on the other hand, well, now as then, bustling city, multicultural, lots of colour, lots of noise, the most astonishing buildings. And now, as then, the seat of power. Mark is making a point by stressing the direction that Jesus was coming from. This man is not going to be what you expect. He will not conform to your expectations of position or power or passion. And having shown us that our ordinary expectations just won't help us make Jesus out, Mark then completely surprises us. Not only is Jesus baptized by his cousin, who is utterly convinced that here in Jesus is the greater one than me that he's been telling people about for months, but also, as Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens are torn apart. The Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, and a voice is heard from heaven saying, "You are my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Do you see the juxtaposition there? The people around him would have had no idea how to label him. I mean, seriously, who was this carpenter chap from that pokey little town, and why was John making such a big deal? The people didn't know how to identify him, but he receives a name from God. He receives his identity. He receives his purpose. It is conferred on him by God, not by other people. So shall we just pause there for a moment and reflect? Who do you get your identity from? I'm not talking about genetics. If you ever have the opportunity to meet my mother and her two sisters at the same time, you will definitely see where I come from. My father, on the other hand, as a complete aside, has this sergeant major moustache, so hopefully the family resemblance there is not quite so strong. What I mean more than genetics, I mean the sense of person and of worth that you hold for yourself. Do you feel that you're a mistake? Well, Psalm 139 says that you're not. Do you feel inferior to other people? The very first chapter of the Bible tells us that man and woman, all humanity, are made in the image and likeness of God. All people. Or perhaps you feel better than other people. Perhaps you struggle with pride and your sense of status or your achievements, your skills and abilities. In which case, I merely say to you, go and reflect on the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, but we can become sons and daughters of God by adoption. It's one of the facets of our own baptism. That sense of being received into the family of God, of being named by God, of being identified with God. Now, as you might imagine, the scholars have quite a good time trying to bat around the various details and possibilities of the actual words used and recorded by Mark. They go to the Greek, they go to the Hebrew, they do all sorts of things, which is fine. But a few things seem relatively clear and helpful to us today. Firstly, this incident that Mark records is reminiscent, is like the calling visions of the prophets in the Old Testament. When God sets them apart and gives them a message for the people. Secondly, there are echoes of various Old Testament texts here. For example, Psalm 2, Isaiah 42, that suggests that this statement that the heavenly voice makes speaks about Jesus both being the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, and being a servant. So once again, that's not what was expected, because the Jews were waiting for a military leader anointed by God who would help them throw off the oppressive forces of the Romans and get back to living a good life. So what did serving have to do with that? And then thirdly, the verb used, which speaks of the heavens being torn apart, is the same verb used later by Mark when he describes the temple curtain being torn in two as Jesus died. What has long been sealed is now open. There's something here about hope. And we'll see that more if we just look at our last few verses. Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he remained for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, you may well remember other accounts that speak of three tests and of questions and of answers. Mark's stress is more about the wilderness than about the testing. Throughout Scripture, the idea of wilderness, in word and in deed, is often used to indicate a place of testing. So, picture the Jews, the Israelites, wandering around the Sinai Desert for 40 years whilst they sort out their trust issues with God. The wilderness, a place of testing. It's also often used as a picture of chaos, a place of evil, a place of wild animals, and one which God will deliver his people from. Now, we are taught by Scripture and by church tradition that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, and so it can hardly surprise us when we read that even Jesus was tested. In fact, often people share this passage with those who have just been baptized. They certainly did with me when I was 12. And they warn that once you have shown repentance, once you have shown your faithfulness to God through baptism, testing times will come. Which was certainly true for me. But look what happens. In these few short words, we see Jesus under the influence of the Spirit, sustained by God, and apparently at peace with the wild animals. Folks, we see in Jesus what we lost. Think of the book of beginnings. It tells us the start of time itself. God created the world and everything in it. God created a garden and he created humanity to be in relationship with him and to work to subdue the earth. Now, subdue is an unfortunate English word because it implies domination. But that really the original means fulfillment. It was our task to guard and to see that the earth became all that it could be whilst we were in right relationship with God. But Adam and Eve wanted more, and they ended up with less. And so we, as their descendants, have to deal with a broken world, with pain, with hard work, with broken relationships, and we look with hope for a different time, a different way. That time, that way, started with Jesus. The transformation of the wilderness, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, both phrases used to mean the same thing. And it can continue with us. John called people to repentance. See how you are falling so far short of God's best for you. Living an impoverished life, even if it looks good on the outside. Choose differently. Choose to be in right relationship with God. Humble yourselves. Be baptized and receive a new identity as a child of God. And through his Spirit, become a co-worker with him in the kingdom of heaven, which is happening now on earth. We are called and anointed to speak with a prophetic voice into the situations around us. We are called to serve the world and to help all become fulfilled. So when you spend some time with folk who need someone to share with at listening ear, that's the kingdom of God coming into being. The transformation of the wilderness for a person who now knows someone cares. When you participate in a communion service at Carrington House, you are living out Kingdom of God values. When you pray passionately for the Chadwells, or I remember last time I was here, we were talking about the chaplaincy in the secondary school. Or I know that Alcoholics Anonymous meet over at the Methodist Church. When you pray, you are being transformed by God's love. And by God's love, you are participating in the transformation of the wilderness, the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, as I said, I don't know any of you. If you find the things that I'm saying this morning is all news, then I promise I have good reason to know that folk here are quite friendly. And as I said, we are having coffee and cake. So grab a coffee, grab a person and ask a question. If something I have said this morning or some word of scripture has raised a pain or a passion in you, then I do encourage you to come forward when our gathering ends. And let someone here support you by praying with you here at the front. And if I have, oh, wouldn't that be good? If I have stirred questions in you about your own journey of faith, perhaps your own need to be baptized, then I would encourage you to speak with Paul or with Sue, or even check out the church website. It's got a really good explanation. Find out more. Do something about it. Folks, we do still live in a broken world. There is still pain. And the healing process that Jesus began there in the wilderness is not yet completed. Which is why there are still storms, as we spoke of in our psalm, as we sang in our songs. And why hope is so important. Sue said last week that following Christ is not always the easy path, but it is a road worth following. So there is profound truth in our passage from Jeremiah this morning. Plant yourselves deeply in God. And when the times of drought come, which they will, you will still be refreshed and you will still bear fruit. May it be so for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just take a quiet moment to reflect on what we have sung or heard from Scripture or what I have just spoken. And if something has caught your attention, if something is resonating with you, then pay attention to it. And store it up that you can think on it during the week. Just a moment to reflect. Lord God, may your word settle in our hearts and be a light to our feet. Amen. We have the opportunity to sing a song now. It's a song of response. It's a song that recognizes we choose. It's called Purify My Heart. It's a recognition that we aren't yet all that we can be, but that we would like to be more. So if you are able to sing this as a response, I would invite you to do so. And whilst we are singing, we will receive our offering. Lord God, we know we are not yet all that we can be, but we know too, by your graciousness, by the gift of your Son, and by the power of your Spirit, we can be changed. We ask that you receive these offerings of money as a part of our response to you, and that you use them for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
We will continue in our response. Please do take a seat. We will continue in our response by hearing our prayers of intercession.
All right. As usual, I've taken some prayers from the Celtic tradition. And I'll do a few prayers, and then we'll have a time of open prayer that you can bring before people who are on your hearts or situations you're on your hearts. Let us make an act of forgiveness, casting out of our minds, by God's grace, all resentment and ill will, all sense of injury and self-pity, all jealousy and envy, all contempt and fear, and recalling any who have done us wrong, let us bless them and receive for them, as for ourselves, the forgiving love of God. Amen. Thou who art the only source of power, the only wisdom, and the only joy, release us from all strife and bondage. And out of thine abundance and mercy, give us liberty of those whose spirits soar into the sphere of prayer. Reveal the likeness of thy Son within us. Revive our faith to see things that are unseen. Let us love only thy righteousness and inspire us to obedient service. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We thank you for this, our God, that we are travelers and strangers in this world, like so many of our brethren who have gone before us. Let us accept the sense of adventure, to be open to possibilities of abandonment to God's will and the expectation of the fulfillment of that will. We accept responsibilities. Let us hear and obey, trusting in God's voice, the call of the Spirit, the cry of the bird of heaven. Let it be yes to the narrow road, to risk this world for the sake of the next. The sea of life takes us where we do not know, but let us gladly go. Let us trust every word and say, obey to the voice of heaven. Now I have a time of open prayer. In the strong name of Jesus, we bless all that is living and recognize all that our lives, the reflection, all that lives is a reflection of your word. Teach us to care for all that is entrusted to us and nurture every sign of your presence. Circle our dear ones in your love and bless and protect us from evil and danger. Give us open eyes to see beyond what others say, see possibilities, give us an insight to recognize your love. Give us a generosity that pushes back the boundaries, for even death by Jesus has been defeated. Without your power, we are powerless, Lord. Help us to bring your kingdom to fruition. Amen.
Our final hymn echoes the words of our prayers beautifully. So if we are able, shall we stand and sing together? It may be one you're not familiar with, but it has one or two verses, so you have a chance to learn it. Let's pray. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may lead you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. Amen.